This is Classical IPR Interlochen Public Radio. Good afternoon. I'm Amanda Sewell. And joining me here in the studio is Jack Fellows of Grand Traverse Pipes and Drums. Hi, Jack.
Good afternoon, Amanda. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Well, we're going to start out with some music, and then we'll talk about your upcoming concert and benefit, a little bit about the history of the ensemble. What are we going to hear first?
Why don't we take a listen to The Bells of Dunblane, fairly recent piece written by pipe major Robert Matheson. Very melodic.
And who is performing in this recording?
Well, this is Grand Traverse Pipes and Drums. We recorded our CD a number of years ago and had to have this tune on it.
Okay, we'll hear Grand Traverse Pipes and Drums performing Bells of Dunblane. Bells of Dunblane, performed by the Grand Traverse Pipes and Drums, and I am joined here in the studio by Jack Fellows, a member of the group. So, Jack, tell us a little bit about the history of Grand Traverse Pipes and Drums, when it was founded, and what your mission is.
Well, it was in 1974, where local legend Mel G., who had Mel G.'s music shop in Traverse City for many years, determined that it would be a good thing to have a pipe band in the area. He knew Doris Cush, a piper and dancer in the Kalkaska area, and together they knew Bill Douglas, who owned the Kilty Shop in Saginaw, who had the connections. So they were able to get the proper pipe band gear together, which 40-odd years ago was not a simple thing. There weren't that many outlets. But between the three of them, they got a frontline group together, and it's been 43 years.
So your group is still active now, and you're giving a concert this weekend.
Well, yes, it is a concert. We call it a ceilidh, and in Scottish tradition, a ceilidh is more of a house party. If you're in Cape Breton, they would roll back the carpets and be dancing in the living room. People would be fiddling in the kitchen. So we like that feel. It's going to be fun. We're going to have the Wild Sullies coming into play for us, and of course, Grand Traverse Pipes and Drums. And we have our local dance troupe, Celtic Fire Highland Dancers, very good dancers. There'll be a lot of fun, lots of young kids there, lots of energy. So it's going to be a great one. But yes, it's a fundraiser for the band so that we can go out and compete in various venues this year in either Ontario or the Midwest. Yeah.
Yeah, so the funds that you're raising help support your travel to competitions?
Yes, it is. It's about $2,000 to go to any competition that we attend. And we got to come up with that money somewhere, and it won't come out of our pockets. We're Scottish.
Annually, how many competitions do you folks attend?
It's been just two or three a year. We'd like to up that. But if you have to travel to Chicago or Milwaukee or Oberlin, Ohio, the nearest one we do is Alma, thank goodness. And that's a great, great Highland Games. That's on Memorial Day every weekend. Every year. But it's the entire weekend. It's Saturday and Sunday, Memorial Day. So if you can make that at all, it is a terrific example of a really good North American Highland Games.
Okay. Well, let's hear another piece from the Grand Traverse Pipes and Drums album. What do we have next?
Why don't we hear Dr. Gaelic, and that'll be followed by Rocking the Cradle. And just a quick note, Dr. Gaelic was written as an insult by the writer, Bob Worrell, who is one of the best pipers in the world. He was insulted by a judge in Scotland who thought the band selections weren't Gaelic enough, so Bob wrote one.
Okay. Dr. Gaelic followed by Rocking the Cradle. Dr. Gaelic, followed by Rocking the Cradle, performed by the Grand Traverse Pipes and Drums. I'm Amanda Sewell in the studio with Jack Fellows from the Grand Traverse Pipes and Drums. So, Jack, the piece we just heard, we heard a new composition, and followed by a more traditional piece. So the rep that you folks play in the ensemble, it's both traditional, you know, hundreds of years old, and then also brand new?
Very much so. It's fun to mix it up. The traditional tunes people love, and as most musicians know, your public likes to hear what's familiar. They like the old war horses, but musicians like a little bit of a challenge, and they would like to try new things and make them into traditional. So we do like to mix them up, but some of the competition pieces and the pieces being written today, in particular with an eye toward competition, are a little more complicated. And you can hear the roots, the traditional roots, but there's lots of new stuff added, new structures to the music, but you still have to keep it within certain traditional bounds, or else people will not be so interested.
So how does the ensemble decide what it's going to play?
Generally, the pipe major determines that, and we have a terrific pipe major, Peter Dineen. He's been with the band since the almost the beginning anyway, and he will review a number of marches, strathspeys, reels, hornpipes, jigs, maybe some pibrochs, all the styles of music we play, and determine, gee, it would be great to have a medley of X, Y, and Z for competition, or even just for concerts. So, yeah, the pipe major determines, and if there's any dissent in the band, too bad.
So it's not a democracy, is what you're telling me.
It really is not. The pipe major, as they have said, is next to God. He makes the decisions, and you really had better live with it. If you have a beef, you take it up in private. You don't humiliate the drum major or the pipe major. It's all done in private.
Fair enough. So let's talk about the instrument itself here, the bagpipe itself. So is it a double reed? Is it a single reed? What is it?
Yes.
What is it made of?
Yes. Well, you've got the bag under the arm. That's your air reservoir. And it powers the three drones, which are over the shoulders. And those drones are playing the note A. Actually, the two smaller ones are the A just below middle C. The large one, the bass drone, plays one octave below. Now, the music, the melody, comes from the chanter. It's very much like a recorder, which is played in both hands in front. And we only have nine notes, so everything is done with timing. It's rhythm. You cannot alter the notes. You can't make them sharp or flat. It's all done in the speed, the tempo of the music. And, of course, you want to be playing steadily the whole time, so the drones have a nice mellow tone in the back. You don't want to hear them rising and falling. So it's a matter of physical coordination and remembering the music, too. We may learn off the sheet, but it's all memorized. We don't play from the sheet.
Okay. Well, let's hear some more music from the Grand Traverse Pipes and Drums. What do we have next?
I think a good choice would be, well, Scotland the Brave, which most people tend to believe is Scotland's national anthem. It's not, but it's probably the most popular tune. And if anybody's heard more than two tunes on the pipes, it's probably one of them's been Scotland the Brave. And to follow that one up, it's an old traditional tune known as the Rowan Tree. In Scotland, the Rowan Tree is an ash, and that comes from ancient beliefs that the ash tree held the flat world in space, and the ancients worshipped the ash. It's also a sign today of good luck and fertility, so watch out.
Okay, Scotland the Brave and Rowan Tree. Grand Traverse Pipes and Drums performing Scotland the Brave and Rowan Tree. I'm Amanda Sewell, and my guest this hour is Jack Fellows from Grand Traverse Pipes and Drums. And so, Jack, when a person starts learning the pipes, do they play the drone first? Do they learn the melody first? Or do they learn them together? What's the process?
Well, the traditional process was to put a practice chanter into the student's hands, and that's just like a recorder, and learning the fingerings to, it used to be a dozen tunes, and if you could play a dozen tunes from memory for your tutor, generally you were awarded a chance to try the pipes. So when they stick the pipes in your arms, generally the drones are corked. It takes a bit of, I can't say a lot of air, but it takes a bit of coordination to get them all to play correctly. So we cork the drones off, and the student learns to play just on the practice chanter and the bag. Some people call that a goose setup. But, they learn the tunes on the goose, and then as they get proficient enough, then we pull one cork out, and they get one drone under control, and then the second drone. And the big move is when we pull the cork out of the big bass drone. It takes about twice as much air as the others, and once they've got that going steadily, they're home.
Okay, so let's say you're a 30-something person living in the Grand Traverse region, and you have a music background, and you think pipes and drums are neat, and you might be interested in joining your ensemble. How would one go about doing that?
Well, we do have a website, Grand Traverse Pipes and Drums, so you can connect with us through that. If you're at any of our performances, please hang around and tug somebody's elbow and let them know. We're more than happy and we're grateful if somebody would actually approach us. Otherwise, certainly at any time, we're happy to take students on and drop by our rehearsals. We rehearse Monday nights at Central United Methodist Church in Traverse City, 6:30 to about 9-ish. So drop on by. Everybody would be happy to see you, and we'll get you started with a tutor. We'll find a person's got enough time on one of the evening during the week that they can meet with you, and maybe it's 50 minutes, maybe it's 45 minutes. We would love to have folks come early on Monday night and then stick around for the rehearsal. That way they get to hear the band in practice and get to hear what it really takes to run a band, the discipline, the focus, and then they get to hear the music played, well, both up to speed and getting up to speed. So it's kind of fun. And then you get to hear the whole ensemble, the pipes and the drums together.
So even if you're still just at the goose stage with your tutor, see, I'm learning. The goose stage, it's probably best to sit in on the full ensemble rehearsals as well.
It works really well. It worked for me, and it worked for a number of other people. That you basically pick it up by osmosis. You're absorbing this knowledge that you can't make any use of for maybe a few months. But once it clicks, all of a sudden you've had the exposure, and you know what has to be done.
And does a person need to be able to read music to be in the ensemble?
Good question. Yes. Sorry to disappoint those who can teach themselves any instrument by ear. I can prove you wrong. It really requires reading staff notation. There's just too much going on. We have a lot of little, we call grace notes, between the main melody notes, and those are very important to establishing the rhythm. That's what makes the Scottish music Scottish, the certain rhythm of the grace notes. If you skip that, it's just like playing a recorder, which is fine, but that's not the bagpipe. So yeah, you have to learn on the staff notation. If you know the music, great. If not, we'll teach it to you.
That's interesting, because if I think of pipes, I think of oral tradition. I think of music that's not notated. But what you're telling me is that now in the 21st century, you're reading from notation, and that's a crucial part of knowing the music.
That started mostly in the Victorian days, in the 1870s, 80s, when pipe bands came together. Most often up until that point, there was no band for the pipe people. You played as a soloist. And in the British Army, all of a sudden, you had pipers and drummers together, and they formed bands. That was kind of a new thing. So you had to play things together. You had to play the same version. The only way to do that is to read the same piece of staff literature. So we have to insist on that. But yeah, in the 20th century, it's been very required that you read from the staff. And there's the other point, is that when you're playing, that music's not in front of you. You have to commit it to memory. But the nice thing is, it's usually something that's automatic. After you've drilled it, your fingers know what to do.
So the next piece we're going to hear actually is a good example of this, because it's a tune probably everybody knows, but the way I know it might be a little different from the way you know it.
Well, it is the most loved and best recognized hymn in the English language, and it works very well on the pipes. And yeah, here it is, Amazing Grace.
Grand Traverse Pipes and Drums performing John Newton's Amazing Grace. I'm Amanda Sewell here with Jack Fellows from the Ensemble. So, Jack, I have to know, what's the gender distribution in the ensemble? Because I think of piping as a traditionally male pursuit.
And it was until probably the mid-1960s, until some very bold, very talented young Canadian women broke that glass ceiling, had to elbow their way in. The grumpy old Scots just wouldn't have it. It wasn't traditional. The funny part is that it used to be all the dancing used to be done by men too, years ago, and that has switched for the well, probably the past half century. It's mostly women, but they were still excluded from the pipe bands. Well, not any longer. Some terrific players out there. We have, I believe it's four active ladies playing pipes out of 10 in the band right now. We have, oh my, five drummers. Our drum corps is mostly ladies, and they do a fabulous job. It's nice having the mix because we can have families now. So we do have, in a couple of cases, a piper and a drummer in the same family, or two drummers. And if you're going to be traveling together and spending the summer on the road, you might as well be with your family. So we do encourage that. We have one of the families who actually has a young lady who's 13 years old. We have two 13-year-old girls in the band, but this family is a the daddy's a piper, mom's a drummer, one daughter is a piper, and it looks like daughter number two is going to be a fiddler, but that's okay.
She's the black sheep.
Well, she may be the smart one. I don't know. But yeah, it's fun to get the family out there, and that means when you travel, you can stay together and have fun, have the same experiences. So yes, we would encourage anybody who has an interest, ladies, men, kids, please approach us, find the website, send us an email. Yes.
Okay. And you have this fundraiser slash party this Saturday at the 18th. It's at the Elks Lodge in Traverse City, right?
Yep.
Starting at 7.
7 o'clock. It'll run 7 to 10:30.
Tickets at the door?
Tickets at the door only. We figured that would be simple, and it looks like the weather forecast is going to be great, so we're hoping for a big gate.
Okay. So here's a question. Do people need to buy their own instruments? Do you have a fleet of pipes that can be borrowed, or how does that work?
Yes to both questions. We do have band pipes, which are, modest but still very good sounding pipes. They've been with the band for, oh my gosh, 30 to 40 years, probably since our inception. And we keep them running, and we keep a couple sets available for newcomers. As far as the pipers themselves, eventually they acquire their own. Pipes are a very personal thing. You want to have one that you want. You want the brand you want, if it's branded. There's a certain look. You can have silver or ivory or imitation silver or you name it. They're using nut woods. You can make them very ornate. So it's a bit of a work of art as well as an instrument. So most pipers end up with their own. Several of us own more than one sets as backups or as good investments or just because we like the difference in tone between them. As far as the drums go, the band provides those. There's not much reason for most sane human beings to keep a bass drum for any other reason, or a Scottish snare, which is different. The Scottish snares are snared both on the top and the bottom heads, so they're probably not welcome in an orchestra. Very sharp, very staccato. But yeah, so for that, generally the pipers own their own, but the drummers don't.
So if I'm ready to make the investment in my own set of pipes, what amount am I looking at?
Well, to start, we don't generally encourage people to simply go buy a set of pipes.
Oh, darn
Yeah.
it.
Well, it's fun, but they may end up hanging on your wall. What we'll do is we'll start you out on a practice chanter and then give you some real suggestions on where to go to buy a set of pipes. Now, we're very lucky in Traverse City. There's a terrific shop called Henderson Imports. Handle a lot of pipes and drums and pipe band needs. They're an international presence, and we buy almost everything from them. So it's a real great resource to have, and the folks at Henderson's know their stuff. They've been doing this for years, so it's a lot of fun. They're good folks to work with. But once you've acquired that, you could generally expect, for a fully kitted out pipe of reasonable quality without getting really extravagant, you're going to approach $2,000.
Okay, so it's not a decision to be taken lightly.
Well, no, and it's too often that we have people approach us. Say, gee, I was in Scotland or Ireland, bought this set of pipes there, and we can't make them work. And so
Oh,
these are often dumped in our laps, and very sorry to tell you, most of them are made in Pakistan. They're made to be wall hangers, quite literally. And these folks have bought them, I'm ashamed to say, in Scotland. But they're cheap souvenirs, and they thought, gee, I bought these pipes for $400, but I can't make them work. Well, we're not surprised.
Nobody can.
Well, I have actually done that for people and made them work, but they just didn't have the tone. Just didn't. So if you're gonna spend that kind of money, get some good advice.
Okay, sounds good. And they can come ask you at your concert this Saturday
more than
for
happy to
that.
help, or go
Okay.
right right to Henderson's. They'll know what's going on.
Okay, Jack Fellows, thank you so much for being here.
What a pleasure, Amanda. Thank you for having me.
Okay, Saturday at 7 o'clock at the Elks Lodge, you can go to the Kaylee, which is the party.
It is.
For Grand Traverse Pipes and Drums. And what's the last piece we're going to hear today? Now, this isn't you guys performing. This is another ensemble, but...
Correct.
You said it's a piece you're working on?
Yeah, actually, yes. We have this almost down to recording level. This one is known as, pardon me, The Ass in the Graveyard.
And for the FCC, we're referring to the animal.
Yeah, it's really a donkey. But in this case, the author was on the telephone with a gentleman, and he had to buzz off the phone really quick because he had to attend, as he called it, Mass in the Graveyard. There was a service at a nearby church that had the churchyard, the burial yard outside. Well, the caller thought he heard ass in the graveyard, and when he reported this back to the fellow, he thought, that's just too good a tune to miss. So this one's a nice one. It's done by the Shots and Dykehead Caledonia Pipe Band, world winners 11 times over, probably the best Scottish drum corps ever developed. But this one's a mix, too. There are some, there's cello on there, there are other instruments. It's a great method to show how these can actually be mixed with orchestral instruments.
Okay, great. So this is The Ass in the Graveyard and performed by the Shots and Dykehead Caledonia Pipe Band. You can join Grand Traverse Pipes and Drums for their Kaylee Party and Fundraiser this Saturday, February 18th, starting at 7 o'clock at the Elks Lodge in Traverse City.